Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Voices of Reason in the Valley. This is your host, Elena Schofield. Before we get into our interview with our guest today, I would just like to let everyone know that the first annual Palmdale Prayer March 2021 has been canceled for the date of Saturday, October 2nd, 2021. We will be actually hosting the event later on in October, and the time and date will be determined. Thank you. This radio talk show is going to feature congressional candidate Ruth Luevanos. She's running for Congress for the 25th Congressional California District. I am so excited to endorse this young woman, or this lady, if I should say. She is a mother, a wife, a teacher, a union leader, an activist, a law school graduate, a youth mentor, and the first Latina ever elected to the Simi Valley City Council. Ruth is a tireless advocate for her students and for all young people. She dedicated her life to the belief that there are not no lost causes, only unrealized opportunities. A true progressive, Ruth believes in well-funded and well-supported public education, Medicare for all, tackling the interlinked problems of racial and environmental justice, and making a just transition away from fossil fuel into a greener future. She's the daughter of immigrants. Ruth Luevanos, she grew up as the fourth of five kids in a rowdy, tight-knit household full of laughter and big dreams and a lot of love. She and her siblings all learned English for the first time in kindergarten and were among the students bused across the San Fernando Valley to integrate their public schools. In 1978, when their machinist father was injured and had to stop working, the family sold secondhand goods at a local swap meet on weekends to make ends meet. After completing a bachelor's in criminal justice at George Washington University and earning her Juris Doctorate at Loyola Law School in Los Angeles, where she served as president of the Student Bar Association, Ruth got ready to study for the California bar exam. To pay the bills while she studied, she decided to try substitute teaching, and she never looked back. We welcome this dynamic, powerful, unsung hero is what I call her. Welcome, Ruth Luevanos.
Thank you so much for having me, Elena. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. I've given the bio, but let's talk a little bit more about you up to date.
So I am currently teaching full-time. People think I retired. I did not retire. I'm still working three jobs.
Okay.
So I am a teacher at a continuation high school in Reseda, and
wow.
I've taught for 22 years. I love it. I love being in the classroom. I love the kids. I'm still a Girl Scout leader, a co-leader for my daughter's troop, and I'm working as a city councilwoman. I still have another year and so on my term on Simi Valley City Council, where I serve on multiple boards of directors and the water agency, the library.
Yes.
And then in addition to that, my sisters and I, about a year ago, started a company called Sisterhood for Equity. And it's a business that's focused on equity-minded work, including anti-racism, curriculum, statistics, data analysis. And I still have one child at home that I'm raising, a teenager. The other one I sent off to college in a three-generation household in Simi Valley. So my mother-in-law lives with us. And that's my life. It's pretty busy, but very
exciting. It sounds like you're pretty busy. Yeah. I'm impressed by you being the first Latina voted into office on your city council in Simi Valley. You have made history. I really have come up with the nickname for you, Unsung Hero.
Oh.
That is what I'm going to call you. Now, Getro, I call Getro Elise the man with the plan, but I'm calling Ruth Luevanos the unsung hero.
Oh.
And of course, you have had to make a significant impact on women and women of color, as you have made this historical, accomplishment or milestone, being the first Latina, and you speak Spanish as well. So you yes. can represent the Spanish population as well as the, English population. And I really want to say congratulations. And you have pioneered something where somebody can look at you and look at you as a role model into following your footsteps. And what do you think about that? How do you feel being the first Latina woman that has represented women and people of color in your city council?
I'm very proud of that legacy, and yes. I'm proud to know that I've inspired a number of other women of color that have started amazing organizations, and just a lot of youth of color that have started other organizations.
Yes.
So we have, for example, RISE was founded, RISE Simi Valley, which basically... Sorry, my mom. So
that's okay. Don't worry about it.
Rise Simi Valley.
We all working from home.
Organization of all women of color that focuses on anti-racist work and lifting up mm-hmm. communities of color and disenfranchised communities in Simi Valley. We have Simi Serve, which was founded by a young Asian man and teenager in Simi yeah. Valley, which helps give. Sanitary napkins and other, hygienic supplies to girls who are, low income in public schools. And then we have Simi Serve, which is another organization founded by a young Latina who grew up in Simi Valley, which is a service-based organization. And the list goes on and on. So ever since I was elected, we've seen all of these, organizations that have
services, yeah.
that have been empowered. And it's really mm-hmm. inspiring to me to when they say, you inspired us. And I'm like, you inspired me. And it just kind of goes back and forth. So
it's like full circle. Those hygiene products are very important, yes. especially when they have to go to school, and they can be costly. Amen. So to actually help young ladies with that, I think that is that's a major plus. What is the catalyst that empowered you to actually run for a congressional seat?
They're having a city council meeting in Simi Valley addressing the Family Values Act, and the city of Simi Valley wanted to join the Trump administration's lawsuit against the state of California for this law passed by Senator Kevin De Leon, which basically said that local law enforcement should not do federal law enforcement ICE duties, immigration duties. And I agreed with that, and I knew that would spread xenophobia and, hatred in the community and bigotry.
Fear.
I attended mm-hmm. along with dozens of other people from the community activists. My son attended with me, he was 14 years old and a scout, and he needed to finish his speech merit badge. So he went with me at that meeting. Doing two things at once, right?
Right.
At that meeting, unfortunately, before the meeting even started, there was a lot of nationalism, and my son was told that he was going to be the first one deported back to Mexico when they deported the Mexicans on the bus. He was yelled at.
Unbelievable.
And, he was called, an illegal alien and dirty Mexican, and just really horrible things that were said to him.
Oh.
And after that meeting, the city council decided to join the lawsuit with the Trump administration. And we were also disheartened, even though there were over 200 people, over two-thirds of the people there said stay neutral, right, or vote against it, like the rest of Ventura County cities. And they voted to join the lawsuit. So about 36 community leaders got together in somebody's home, and I was invited. And they said, we're disheartened by this decision, but we're going to fight against it. And would you be willing to run as a city council member? And four of us, yes. And of the three of us that actually ran, I was the one that was elected. And so that's how I got to be a city councilwoman.
Wow. And then from there, you're going to Congress.
I hope so.
Yes, you're going to Congress. Just like you won that city council seat, you're going to win a congressional seat because you deserve it. It's the kind of people, individuals like you, that we need to represent. And what's so amazing is the fact that you have decided to run. you know, and as a woman of color, and we have made significant strides over the past few years, even decades, but the past few years, we see a lot of women of color moving into congressional, to mayoralship, into congressional leadership. And it's amazing, even Kamala Harris being the VP of the United States. I'm proud of the fact that you're doing what you're doing, because it takes good people to decide that they're going to run. And what people don't understand, that it takes a lot of money and time and effort. And as you had shared, it even takes ridicule and persecution, you know, even them talking about a 14-year-old boy to treat him as such. But he has been rewarded because his mom is running city council. she's on city council. So you have to let them know that there's a reward for all of the, you know, the backlash that we get, right? What are the major key components of your political platform?
Well, I'm a teacher, so public education, we need to fully fund public education. We know that for every dollar that we invest in public education, we get 3 times the investment back. So it is an investment when we spend money on public education. And right now, unfortunately, we spend, you know, 4 times as much on our prisoners as we do on our public school students. And so we need to remember what our priorities are and, you know, yes, make that investment in our children. And so we need to fully fund public schools. I'm a public school teacher, 22 years, taught K-12 and LA Unified. And I'm still teaching in a school that doesn't have potable water. We have to bring bottled water in because the water in the faucets is full of lead. You know, not all schools we still have, you know, schools that have asbestos and mold and spiders and mice and rats and cockroaches. And so we need to show our students that we are going to invest in them, but we're going to invest in their future. And we know that it's a worthy investment. And just from an economic standpoint, we're going to get that investment back threefold. So fighting public education. And we have to invest in education, not incarceration, and prove to our kids that we have faith in them. Because I know I do. I've had faith for over 20 years.
And I know I had a conversation with you earlier, and it blew my mind. And I was like, wow. I mean, I believe in God, and I believe God will strategically put people in place to fight. But when you suggested that they should take monies to have counselors for students that have actually been victims of generational trauma, oh my God. Yes. I was so impressed by your knowledge and your ability to actually fight and speak up for those that need to be heard, to serve as a voice. And I am totally endorsing you. Also, what I agree with you is with Medicare for All and technology and green. Yeah, you want to go green. So let's talk about Medicare for All.
Absolutely. We know that the number one reason people do GoFundMe is for medical expenses. And you should not have to put on a fundraiser, you know, whether it's a GoFundMe or a bake sale, or, you know, sell your prized possessions, right? In order to cash out.
Yes.
And we know this pandemic, like, laid bare the disparities that we have in access to healthcare, and that there's people. As a matter of fact, I told my husband I wouldn't run for Congress unless I knew that I would have healthcare for myself and my family. And so it was important that we know that we have, you know, access to healthcare for my family, myself. And so many of us have those pre-existing conditions that we know are not covered. And so it's important that we have Medicare for All. Everyone should have access to healthcare. It's a human right.
Yes.
And we need to make sure everyone has access to healthcare. We spend so much more by not having access to healthcare, and people talk about how much does it cost. It's going to cost, you know, a lot of money, but we're actually going to save $2 billion by having Medicare for All. So even though it's going to cost a lot of money, we're actually going to save $2 billion by having Medicare for All. And that those are the numbers that nobody talks about, but that we need to talk about, because if we're looking at economics, then it's a worthy investment because we're going to save money in the long run. And again, it's going to increase longevity and worker productivity and, you know, uplift our communities to make sure that we're all healthy and we have access to that. So,
And I would like to add that it's worked for London, it's worked for Switzerland, it's worked for Sweden, it's worked for Germany, it's worked for so many other countries. So why not, you know, the United States? What makes you different from all the other candidates?
I'm in the trenches, you know, I am living every one of these issues. So it's not an abstract idea. Healthcare, like I said, is important. I can't quit my job as a teacher because I need access to healthcare, as does my husband, as do my children. I'm a cancer survivor. My husband had a heart attack 2 years ago, which if we didn't have healthcare, you know, would have been a bill that was over $100,000 that would have devastated us financially. I'm working three jobs. That's typical. Most teachers are working two jobs. You know, we call it the side hustle. It's not a side hustle. It's a second job when you have to work another job to supplement your job as a teacher. We are working, you know, the environment is something that impacted me. I'm a cancer survivor. My daughter, you know, almost lost all her teeth because of the environmental issues that, you know, we're facing with the lack of cleanup of the Santa Susana Field Lab. We know that impacts communities of color more than anyone else. So that's a healthcare, economic, and environmental issue, right? And so those are all things. And then, of course, the minimum wage. I talked about having a second job. I'm fighting for minimum wage because we need to make sure that we have living wages, you know, access to affordable housing, public transportation is going to help the environment. And all the wildfires that I'm seeing every single day right off the 14 freeway, off the 5 freeway, off the 118 freeway, there's fires every day. So we need to address the issue of climate change. And I've been doing that, you know, through my work and advocacy through the Clean Power Alliance and investing in renewable energy and those jobs and, you know, just transition and then making sure that workers have rights. So that's the third part of my platform is to make sure that everyone can unionize, whether they're a home healthcare worker, whether they're working in the fields, whether they're working at a, you know, car wash, wherever it is that you're working, you should have access to make sure that you have rights, that you have livable wages, and that you are getting paid what you should be getting paid right now.
I will add this. Ruth Luevenos, an intelligent voice and an unsung hero. You have an intelligent voice for the people. You're gentle, you're kind, you have good reasoning, and you have a heart to help the people. And strategically, you're bilingual, so you can represent a whole lot of people, right? And that was, and I think that's what's so significant, that you can represent people of color from different ethnicities. And that's powerful. That's powerful, Ruth. And to have the mind to try to say, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this for everybody, all people. And you will be the Congresswoman for all. How do we contact your campaign and how do we contribute to your campaign? Because people, listen to me. In order for this woman to represent us and go to Congress for us, she has to have some money to do it. So we have to support her. So Ruth, how do we contact you and how do we contribute to your campaign?
So you can follow me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, even on TikTok. And you can just go to RuthLuevenosForCongress.com and you can contribute there. You can endorse me if you're a teacher or if you're an engineer. I love endorsements from working class people like myself. Because those are the endorsements that matter to me, are the ones from people who are in the trenches like myself, working every day, 2-3 jobs, trying to make ends meet. I'm there in the struggle with you and I'm going to fight for you. Yo voy a luchar por ustedes, porque yo entiendo la lucha. So, and you know, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, Elena. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I am so proud of you. I endorse you. Bless you and your family and your endeavor. And I'm looking forward to seeing you going up and going and representing us in D.C. God bless.
Thank you, Elena.
You're welcome.